Please turn your Bibles with me to the book of James, chapter 1. We'll start our reading in verse 19 this morning. James, chapter 1, verse 19. A recent study conducted by Lifeway Research revealed that Christians in America who regularly attend church, they only read their Bibles, 32% of them only read their Bibles daily. So out of all Christians who regularly attend church, only 32% in our country engage the Word of God daily. The remaining 68% said that they engage the Word a few times to never during the week or the year. Christians in our country, we're known for affirming the Bible as the Word of God, but something that we're not necessarily known for is actually reading the Word of God. That's where we've come to in the church today in our country. And this lack of Bible engagement, it's very concerning. It's nothing when we hear this statistic to just roll our eyes at or just shrug our shoulders at. When we look at what James has to tell us, in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27, we see the vital role that the Word of God plays in the life of a Christian. In this passage, four times in the verses from 19 to 27, five times if you count verse 18, James makes reference to the Word of God. And then also, he connects the Word of God to the concept of righteousness. And so James is showing us that the practical outliving of a right life in the eyes of God is connected to the way that we engage God's Word. According to James, to live a righteous life, Christians must engage God's Word in three essential ways. In other words, if we're going to live in a way that meets the approval of God, we're going to live life that is right in His eyes, we cannot neglect God's Word, but we must all the more be engaging the Word of God. James gives us three essential ways that we must engage God's Word to live a righteous life, so that we're not going to be friends of the world, but we're going to be friends of God. We're going to look at two of those essential ways this morning, and we'll wrap this text up next Sunday, looking at that remaining way that James encourages us to engage God's Word to righteous living. So this morning, we're going to look at verses 19 through 21. We're going to pray and examine these two essential ways in these verses that we're encouraged to engage the Word of God. So look with me in verse 19. God's Word says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Let's pray. Father, it's our hearts, as James wants us to understand through this letter, that we are to live life according to your standards and not the world's. We're to be wholeheartedly committed to you, not half-hearted. And so we're praying, Father, that you will open our eyes, as the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 17, to behold wonderful things this morning. Teach us what you want us to understand as James connects a righteous life with the way we engage the Word of God. And we pray this in the matchless name of Christ. Amen. So to live a righteous life, we must engage the Word of God in three essential ways. What is the first way in which we must engage God's Word? To live righteously, we must first be hearers of the Word. We must first be hearers of the Word. We see this in verse 19. Look at how James begins the verse. He says, "This you know." Well, what can his readers know? Well, he's pointing them back to verse 18. Look at what James says in verse 18. "And the exercise of will is, that is God's will, he brought us forth by the word of truth." They understand the power of the Word of God. We studied this last week, that upon hearing the gospel message, the truth about who Jesus is and what he did, the Son of God, and he came and died on the cross for our sin, understanding their state in relationship to God, they were sinners under judgment, separated from him. When they heard what Christ had done, and they knew that they were in sin, they were under judgment, they responded to the gospel, repented of their sins, and trusted in Christ, they received that word by which they were brought forth. They were regenerated. They became Christians. They moved from death to life by hearing the gospel and believing the gospel. So they are people who know the power of the word of God to transform a person's life. But look at what James
goes on to say. That's not all they need to know. He uses this mild adversative following that initial statement. He says, but though they know the power of the word of God, there's something that they must do. There's a responsibility on their part so that they must allow, so that they can see the word of God continue to change their lives and continue to grow them in Christ's likeness. What is it that they must do? Well, look at what James says, but everyone, all Christians of all times, of all generations, this is a timeless statement. This refers to every believer. Every believer must be quick to hear. Now, the object of hearing here in this context is obviously the word of God. We have to be quick to hear God's word. Now, what does it mean to be quick to hear God's word? This word quick, it refers to the speed through by which an activity is done. It refers to swiftness, refers to quickness. When we need to get out of the house, I'll oftentimes say this to Titus and Truett and my lovely wife, hurry up, we need to go. That's my way of telling them that we need to get out of the door because we have somewhere that we need to be. That's the concept that James is trying to communicate here when he says we need to be quick to hear. He's saying, hurry up and listen. We need to have feet that are quick to run to where the word of God is so that we can hear the word of God. We're going to make haste with our ears to open them up so that we can hear what God has to say to us. And this is an ongoing continual activity in our lives. It's in the present tense. When James says be quick to hear, he's saying always be quick to hear the word of God. Continually be quick to hear the word of God. Now, to be quick to hear the word of God entails two other things. Look at what James says. But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So if we're going to hear the word of God, we've got to be slow to speak and slow to anger. Here, the command to be slow to speak means that we are to refrain from talking so that we can actually hear what God has to say. And to be slow to anger means that James is rebuking any kind of emotional rise that's going to lead to any kind of outburst where we cannot understand and actually appropriate God's word in our lives. For example, let me give you this example. Maybe you come to church one Sunday, and the text that we're going to be looking at is a text where God is dealing with sexual immorality. Say it's a passage where God is rebuking us for any kind of sex outside of the covenant of marriage, because that's the only appropriate place, the only context that God approves of for legitimate sexual expression. So let's say that's the text, and you're coming in from a workplace, from a school context, from some environment where you're hearing something that's contrary to what you're going to hear in the Word of God. So here's what God expects of you. As a believer, you are to come and you're to open your ears widely and you're ready to hear what God has to say about that subject, and I'll say about any subject. God wants us to be quick to hear. And so as we open our Bibles and I start to preach on this subject, you are not to start talking. In other words, you're not to start talking back to the Word of God. Because if you start talking, guess what? You're not going to necessarily be listening. You're going to miss all that God has to say. So James is saying, refrain your tongue from talking and just listen to what God has to say in His Word. And as you refrain from talking, James is also saying, don't get angry. This is a place where, let's say somebody comes, they hear the word of God, it doesn't agree with their preconceived notions about how they should be living life or what they're hearing. They start talking back, and before you know it, their emotions start rising up. And their emotions, there could be outbursts internally or even expressed outwardly in various kinds of flash reactions. See, what God wants us to do when we're quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, is to have a heart that's ready to hear, ears that are open, let God's word be preached, let God's word be spoken, and then we don't talk back to God, we're not talking to where we can't hear, and we're not arguing with God, but we're pausing to have thoughtful reflection on what we hear from God's word, and we're not allowing our emotions to be stirred in such a way where we are uncontrolled. We must prioritize being quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger, because look at what James says in verse 20. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. See, if we're not quick to hear the word of God and we start talking and we have this emotional outburst within us, guess what? We're not going to speak. We're not going to think. We're not going to act in ways that will be righteous in the eyes of God. Remember, what is righteous? Whatever God says is right. That's what is righteous. And so James tells us we need to have that heart where we're going to listen to the word, quickly hear what God has to say. We're going to inevitably sin if we're not quick to hear, but we're fast to speak and fast to anger. So what can you and I do to be quick to hear the word of God so that we can live righteously and we can live a life in accordance with the word of God? You can write these down. Number one, attend church faithfully. You see, when we come together at all times at center place in the worship service, and Baptists typically, we have historically put the pulpit at the center of the stage because this is the direct focus of our worship. We're going to open God's word, look at it together, and the word's going to be expounded. God expects us to be quick to hear the word of God when we come together as the church here at Lakeland Baptist. And so my encouragement to you is, make sure you're here. I mean, church attendance is declining all across the country. We need to stop saying yes to everything else and no to church. And we need to start saying yes to church and no to other things so that we can be present to hear the preaching of the word of God. God wants us to listen to the preached word. Number two, attend church faithfully to hear the preached word. Plug into a small group on Sunday mornings. It's good to build community with a small group where the word of God is taught, and it gives you an opportunity to hear the thoughts of other people. As you talk through the word, you can listen, you can give, you can ask questions, you can give comments. It's good and helpful. But let me make a statement. I don't know that I've said this enough around here. Sometimes people want to choose small group over corporate gathering, over corporate worship. In Scripture, the Bible says, do not neglect the assembling of yourselves together. Scripture tells us, don't neglect this part. You don't neglect the corporate gathering of the body of Christ. So if you skip big church to go to small group, you've got it backwards. If you're going to have to skip something, you need to skip small group to come to big church, because this is what Scripture commands us to do together. Now, I'm encouraging us all to be a part of a small group to hear the word of God, because the more connected we are to a small group, the more likely we'll stay connected to the church in general. But we want to make sure that we attend church faithfully to hear the preached word. Number two, we want to attend, plug into a small group. Number three, to hear the word of God quickly. Seek godly counsel and listen to the wisdom of others. When it comes to decisions you're making or situations you're thinking through, have ears that are open to seek out wise, godly counselors. Let them speak to the word of God into your life. Let them take you to the word of God so that you can receive counsel. Have ears to hear godly counsel. And then last of all, if we're going to be quick to hear the word of God, read your Bible daily. I want you to think about this with me. 32% of Christians read their Bible daily. 32%. And James is telling us in this passage, if we're going to live righteous lives, we've got to engage the word of God by hearing it. Is there any wonder why we're not seeing more righteous living among Christians? It's because we're not rightly engaging God's word. So what I want you to do, if you don't have an established time daily where you're seeking the Lord, Victor, our minister of evangelism and discipleship, he's put together our Read 2021 Bible reading plans. little just a little bookmark you can put in your Bible. You can pick these up at the Welcome Center out in the lobby. Pick one of these up on your way out. It gives you a passage to read each day for you to think through what's the meaning of the text, how do I respond to it. I cannot overemphasize enough the importance of daily engaging the Word of God, because here's what happens when you open the Bible and you read it. God speaks. It really is that simple. This is His inspired Word. It's not man's word, it's God's word. When you open the Bible, God speaks. You know what you do? You listen. You listen to what God is saying. What is His truth? And how do you appropriate it to live it out in life? If we're going to live righteously, we must be hearers of the Word of God. And you can hear the Word of God by attending church, plugging into a small group, seeking godly counsel, and reading your Bible daily. But that's not the only action step we must take to live righteously and engaging the Word of God. There's a second command that James gives us, and that command is found in verse 27. Not only must we be hearers of God's Word, but we must also be receivers of God's Word. Receivers. Look in verse 21. James says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness, in humility, and this is the main command in verse 21, receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. When they initially heard the word of truth mentioned in verse 18, the gospel message of Jesus Christ and the other truths of God's word, when they repented of their sins and believed it, it was like this. God took a seed and planted it in their hearts. And then it blossomed into this new nature that God gave them. He planted His word and it grew into this new nature. Their sins were forgiven. They were given a relationship with Him, and the Holy Spirit came to indwell them. So, and get this, because they are now believers, they're able to do something that those separated from Christ and God cannot do. That they can understand the Word of God because it's spiritually discerned. They now have this capacity as Christians, and they can also live it out. They have the power to act on that Word. You see, if you don't have a relationship with God through Christ, you're not going to understand the Word of God like a Christian does. And if you don't have that relationship with God through Christ, you're not going to be empowered to live it out. Because listen, the Christian life is not about just mustering up strength and adjusting your behavior. No, it's about Christ on the inside, ruling through the power of the Holy Spirit to give us strength to put sin to death and to walk in the ways that He calls us to live. They had this word implanted in them. They had this new nature, this ability to live out the Word of God. And notice what James says about it. It's a word which is able to save your souls. When we think of this word saved, we most always think of initial salvation, when a person is justified, when they're forgiven of their sins and restored to God. Here in this context of James, when James speaks about the word which is able to save, he doesn't just have that first initial part of salvation in mind. He has this whole concept of salvation in mind. From the beginning to the end. You see, in Scripture, we can rightly say that we have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. The past, present, and future context. We can speak of justification, being forgiven of our sins, regeneration, being made alive in Christ, sanctification, which is taking place in the hearts and lives of believers now, where they're being conformed to the likeness of Christ. And one day we'll speak of glorification, when we're made perfect, sin is done away with, we receive these glorified bodies in the new heaven and the new earth. James wants his readers to understand that this word which gave them initial salvation is still working in their hearts to sanctify them, to set them free from sin, to equip them, to encourage them, to mature them, to grow them, to educate them in Christ. But here's the thing. For this word to flourish so that sanctification is taking place, we've got to cooperate. It's not an automatic process. God is working in us, but we have to also cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is doing through the Word of God. So what is required of us? Look at what James tells us. He says that we are supposed to receive the word. Now, this word receive, it means to accept the word. It means to take it to heart. Have you ever had a sales rep stop by your door, they knock, and you come to the door, and they immediately start talking to you. They introduce themselves, they tell you what company they're from or what service or product offering. And so that they go through their spill, you hear it, but then what do? No, thank you, and you close the door. See, you heard their word, but guess what you didn't do? You didn't receive it. James is telling us, if we're going to see righteousness lived out, and we're going to keep growing and growing to do more and more Christ-likeness, or see more and more Christ-likeness in our lives, not only must we hear what God says, but after God has spoken, after we've read it or heard it, we've got to open our hearts to it. We got to welcome the Word of God into our lives. We got to say, Word of God, have your way in my heart so that I can live in accordance with what God is saying. So how do we welcome it in? How do we get to a place to where we're ready to receive the Word? James gives us two action steps. One, we must repentantly receive the Word. And to communicate this in verse 21, James uses a metaphor of taking off clothing. Look at what he says. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, receive the Word implanted. The word filthiness here, it speaks of moral defilement and corruption. The word wickedness, it speaks of evil. It speaks of vices. James wants us to understand that when God's attitude towards sin and how he sees sin in the life of a believer, he sees it as making us morally filthy. He sees it as evil. No sin, doesn't matter how small it is, does God ever say, that's good? Every sin, God says, that's evil. That corrupts you. That defiles you. And so what are we to do? James tells us we're to put it aside. Anytime it's raining outside, our little boys get so excited. You know why? Because it's an opportunity for them to put on their rain boots and go outside and play. So, Titus is over there, yes. So, Melody, being a good, fun mom, she lets them put on their rain boots. They go out into the backyard, and I'm telling you, they have the time of their life. They jump in every puddle they can jump in. They sit on the grass. They sit in the water. They're throwing water on each other. They've got cups of water. Just do everything they can. And when they're done playing, they come knock at the door, and they're ready to come in. Well, guess what? We're not ready to receive them. Before they could come in, this is our words. Whoa, 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 whoa. Stop at the door. Don't you come in here. Strip off everything that you have on. And usually they have to have help because they can't do it because everything's clinging to them. But we make them take everything off before we'll welcome them in. Why? Because they're dirty. What James's point's pretty clear with this metaphor of putting off sin. He's basically saying before you're going to be ready to receive the word, you got to remove sin from your life. You've got to be willing to come before God and acknowledge your sin, because here's the truth. Unrighteousness in the life of a believer hinders the reception of the word of God. Maybe this will help you understand how it's a hindrance. When we have sin in our life and we're not willing to confess it, we're saying, God, I'm fine living in unrighteousness. But when we hear the word preached and we want to receive the word into our heart, we're supposed to be saying, God, I'm ready to move forward in righteousness. So we're actually showing ourselves to be double-minded. God, I want to live in unrighteousness. God, I want to live in righteousness. And those two can't cohabit. So what James is saying is to receive God's word, to have a heart that's ready to take it in and appropriate it, we got to come to God and say, God, search my heart and know me, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any evil way in me, and lead me in the ways that are everlasting. So we're coming before God to confess our sins. Let me ask you just an application question. Is there any sin in your life that's been nagging, that's been ongoing, or maybe something that's just happened this week that you need to confess to God this morning so that your heart is in a place to receive God's word so that you can start making progress in living a righteous life? Because the way we receive God's word, number one, is we receive it repentantly. Number two, the second way we receive God's word is we receive it humbly. James says, in humility, receive the word. When we think of humility, don't think of it in a negative way. It doesn't mean you think negatively of yourself. It doesn't mean you are a spiritual doormat for everybody to walk all over you. That's not the concept of humility. Humility is the opposite of arrogance and pride. The humble Christian man, woman, is one that's not arrogant or self-asserting. They have this docile and gentle spirit. If you look throughout the New Testament, you'll see some concepts coming together to help us better flesh out what it means to be humble in spirit to receive the word. A humble Christian, number one, is someone who has this virtue of acknowledging that they're dependent upon God and His grace in Christ for all things. We don't have the strength we need for anything in this life. And you'll find that 1 Corinthians 4:7. That's one aspect of humility. We're acknowledging our total dependence upon God in Christ for all things. Number two, we willingly place ourselves under God's authority and under His word. 1 Peter 5:6, you'll find that element of humility. We are willing to say, I don't know it all. I'm not the one in charge. I'm going to willingly place myself under the authority of God. And then number three, we're teachable in our hearts. And you'll see this in Psalm 25:9. We have a teachable spirit. Listen to what the psalmist says in that passage. God leads the humble in justice. And I love this. He teaches the humble His way. If God's going to teach you from His word, if you're going to listen to a pastor or a teacher proclaim the word, you got to be humble if you're going to receive it. Because if you're arrogant, if you're self-asserting, you're more important than the word of God or what God has to say for you, you're not going to be in a place to receive that word. Oftentimes when I think of this word, teachableness and humility, a friend of mine just immediately comes to mind. This friend had all kinds of ministry, relational, financial problems. But no matter what I shared with him, no matter what his closest friend shared with him, guess what? We were always wrong, and he was always right. I mean, he always had it figured out what he was going to do, and he wasn't going to listen to anyone else. That's not the concept of being a Christian who's humble and ready to receive the word of God. The humble Christian has this attitude of the Apostle Paul in Romans 5:4. Let God be found true, and every man else be found a liar. Let God always be found true. And every man a liar. This is the attitude of the humble Christian. He comes to the Word of God, whether he's reading it for himself or he's sitting under the preaching of the Word of God, and he says, God says it, that settles it. God says it, that settles it. You know, that sounds like something good we should say together, doesn't it? All right, 1, 2, 3. God says it, that settles it. Period. See, regardless of what we think, regardless of what we feel, regardless of what we desire, regardless of what we've experienced, regardless of what a watching world and opposing culture is saying, if God says it, that settles it. And that's the humble spirit of a believer. They're willing to place themselves under the word of God so that they can live a life that's righteous in the eyes of the Lord. Maybe someone here this morning just needs to pray this simple prayer. Dear God, I know that your word is truth. You're always right in everything you say. Regardless what I think, feel, desire, or experience. In the best way I know how, God, I just want to move forward as a humble student of your word. And I want to place myself under its authority to do what you say is right. Is God calling you this morning to say that simple prayer? So that you will have this heart moving forward that's ready to receive the word of God. At 12 years of age, I heard the gospel. I still remember Providence Baptist Church on a Sunday. I heard the message that I was a sinner who had committed transgressions against God. And I heard the message that if I died in my sin, I would spend an eternity separated from God in a literal place of punishment the Bible calls hell. And I heard the good news that God loved me so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ into the world to die for my sins. He became a man, lived a perfect life, died in my place on the cross, and was raised from the dead after suffering in my place and in the place of all sinners. And having come back from the grave, that he's our victorious king who conquered sin and death for us. And I remember walking the aisle. Our associate pastor, Jim Williams, was at the front, and I told him, Jim, I need to get right with God. I need a relationship with Jesus. And I knelt at the altar to the left of the pulpit in our old worship center there, Providence. And the best way, as a 12-year-old that I knew how, I asked God to forgive me of my sins. And I told him that I wanted to commit my life to Jesus Christ. And I asked Christ to come into my life. And that day, God saved me. But my growth in righteousness, it was stunted for a couple of years. I wasn't growing in Christ's likeness. Let me tell you why. Nobody explained to me the connection of righteous living with the Word of God. I so wish earlier in my life, some of those years that were wasted, somebody had pulled me aside and somebody had taught me that, Donald, for you now to take steps in becoming more like Christ, you're going to have to hear God's Word and you're going to have to receive God's Word. God started something in your life, but you got to cooperate with what God is doing in your heart. You got to hear what God is saying. Stop talking. Don't get angry at God for what you hear in His Word. But listen to all that He has to say and then have a heart that's willing to welcome it in. Turn from sin. Anytime you sin, be quick to confess it and humble yourself under God's mighty hand. And through the Word, He'll lift you up. I wish that would have happened in my life, but here's what happened. I was more worldly than I was righteous. By the time I got into high school, it finally started clicking in my heart. If I'm going to become more like Jesus, I got to be in church to hear the Word of God preached. If I'm going to become like Jesus, I got to open my Bible and I've got to hear what God has to say to me. I got to turn from sin. I've got to start living out this Word that He gives to us and commands us to live by. That's true not just for me, but that's true for every Christian of all ages. If we're going to live a life for which God approves, we have to be hearers of the Word, and we have to be receivers of the Word. Lakeland Baptist Church, will you commit this morning, wherever you've been, and most people here don't know where you've been in your reading of the Word of God, will you help us move up from that 32% threshold and let's just start making strides to engage the Word of God daily? Will you commit, pick up one of our Read 2021 plans and commit for the rest of June to say, I am going to commit to engage the Word of God daily and be a hearer of the Word? Will you commit to be in church every Sunday unless there's an act of God that keeps you out? Or you're just out of town for some reason, will you commit to be here to hear the Word of God? And will you commit to receive it? And that's going to require this morning being willing to humble yourself and let God clean up any sin that's in your life. If you're here this morning and you've never received the gospel of Jesus Christ, you've never turned from your sin and committed to follow Him, God's willing to do for you what He did for those first century believers and what He's done for every Christ follower here. If you're willing to say an eternal yes to Jesus, He'll take the gospel and He'll plant it into your heart and He'll give you that new nature, which will give you the power to put sin to death and the power to live a life that He calls you to. But you have to be willing to say, I'm ready to give my life to Christ and receive His gospel. I'm begging you to do that this morning. Will you please come to Christ? And if you're watching online and you've never made that decision, all you have to do is text the number at the bottom of the screen, text the word decision, and we'll reach out to you to help you in any way that we can. Would you please stand this morning and during this time of response? Father, thank you for this passage which calls us to rightly engage the Word of God. It's essential, James tells us, to live a righteous life. God, if we don't engage your word rightly, if we don't learn to do that, we're going to look more like the world than what we should. Because we need your truth being spoken into our lives daily. God, so that we're not led astray by our desires of our heart or by the message of the culture, by the enemy who tries to lure us away. Father, let us be hearers of the word. Let us be receivers of the word, we pray, so that we can become more and more like Jesus. We love you. God, call out the call this morning, God. I pray that you'll draw people to Christ who do not know Him. I pray that you'll lead us to confess sin, that you'll lead us to make commitments to rightly respond to your truth. And we pray it In the matchless name of Jesus, amen.